From deep inside the Death Star, I'm Chad Beater.
And I'm Andrew Richards.
And this is Defrag Tools, episode 99. Here's our 99, guys.
We got there.
We made it to 99. We may do something special next time for episode 100. We're still working out the details, but take a break from the heavy-duty technical stuff. Do something fun.
Yep.
All right, so we've been talking about writing a debugger extension. We've done 3 episodes so far. This will be number 4.
So after 3 episodes, we're still pretty useless. We're still just Hello World.
We got 2 versions of Hello World now.
Yeah, good and bad.
Both of which do the same thing, but in different ways.
Yeah. So let's actually do something.
Okay.
So when you're doing debugger stuff, you need to resolve variables. Like, it's very common that you'll do like bang foo and then an address. Like, it might just be a straight address, or it might be some address plus some math. So you might go, you know, address plus 20.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and so you need to be able to resolve numerics, right? And sometimes that also has words in it, so it might be a local variable's name and stuff like that. So, how do you resolve things in the debugger? So, much like output, like we've been talking about, there's 2 ways of doing it. You can do it the legacy way, and you can do it the proper way. I'm actually going to show the legacy way first, because it's a bit simpler and it helps you explain the concept. Comes from wngxt.h. And so what we're going to do is add 2 new commands, expression and expression old. The expression will use new API, and expression old will use this old API. I've still got it dumped in this CPP file. Like I said last time, if you're doing this for real, you'd put each function in its own file. Because I want to compare them now on stage, I want to have them next to each other. So same callback signature. You get an idebug client and args. As I said, I'm going to show it to you the deprecated way, which is a function called getExpression. I'm going to show this because you see this a lot in examples, because it is really, really easy to do this. Mm-hmm. You simply pass the string array or something that you've carved off of that into here, and it resolve it. Now, you'll notice that I haven't cared about 32-bit versus 64-bit here. I've always got 64-bit. You should always, always use 64-bit pointers.
Mm-hmm.
The debugger is internally 64-bit always, and you should do that yourself. If you happen to be in a 32-bit target, what's going to happen is that it's just going to be upcast to 64-bit from 32-bit. So it doesn't matter. And this is where the percentage P comes in, which I was talking about last week.
Right.
It knows about that and will draw it as a 32-bit pointer, even though you're passing a 64-bit to it.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to this guy, it's really simple. Give it a string. It could be anything. It could be anything that you would normally type in the debugger. And actually, what I might do is actually run it. I think I've commented everything appropriately so it compiles. Yeah, so anything that you can run with a question mark roughly is the same thing that GetExpression engine can do. And in fact, I think under the covers, it is the same engine.
Oh, okay.
So when you do GetExpression, you might want to do, what's the current instruction pointer? If you ask for EIP, and this is a good example of actually showing you how the bitness of the way you express things will define how the number comes out.
Mm-hmm.
If you ask for RIP, you are asking for the 64-bit
instruction pointer,
and thus you get this 7FFA at the top.
Mm-hmm.
If you ask for EIP, even though it comes from the same register, you're asking for the bottom 32 bits.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not going to give you that stuff at the top. So by mistake, you can cull yourself with the expressions, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so this code, I mean, what question mark is doing is roughly exactly the same as what our code is doing, which is just express it and then print it out on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
So let's actually do those 3 as well with express, and then we'll do like RIP, EIP, and IP. Now, you'll note the slight difference here. They put the tick in the notation with dollar, and percentage P does not. Bless it, because I hate the tick.
Not a fan of the tick.
I'm not a fan of the tick. But be aware that if I think if I can actually pass in that to get expression, I think it actually...
It'll take it out.
It knows how to deal with it.
Yeah.
Bless it. So I'm not a fan of the tick. I think it gets in the way, personally. But yeah, it's relatively simple code to repeat what you see on the screen. Even though we are asking for a 64-bit pointer back, you know, it's scoped down to what you asked for here. That's why you get nice short ones. So that's the very simplistic way of doing it with the old API.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see lots of people use that.
Seems pretty easy.
It is very easy. The alternative is this version, which is a bit heavier, right? Now, you could make a helper function for yourself to bring yourself down to this.
Mm-hmm.
What you're realistically doing with this get expression call is it says, return me a 64-bit pointer always, with the way that it's cast, which is equivalent of what this guy does here. So we've gone from the idebug client, we're query interfaced using iunknown to get the idebug control, and then we're going to call this function. Everything comes out as a debug value. You kind of think of this as like a variant. It's a struct and a union mm-hmm. that is capable of holding any data type. Very, very close to the variant concept. Within that, you know, there's types and stuff, and within that there is like fields like I64 and then I32 and stuff like that. Now there isn't as many that's invariant, like it doesn't have the unsigned versions of these, it just has I.
Mm.
When you do the read or the evaluation, it says evaluate it and then store it as a 64-bit. So if you said evaluate RIP but pass 32, it would do a 32-bit cull on it and you would lose some of the bitness.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I take the approach of always resolving to 64 and then casting it down to something lower later rather than trying to squeeze it. Try to mix and match the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Much like before, the printf is relatively the same. We're using the normal channel, and out it goes. As I said, the value is defined by this defines this. Okay, and so if we run this, oh, hello world,
expression,
we'll get exactly the same thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, expressions, when you evaluate them, you need to be aware of the effect. And this is where kind of a bit of experience, a bit of tweaking comes to mind, and this is something we'll talk about later, is that if you evaluate something that requires a symbol, well, that symbol has to be resolved. And sometimes you'll run your code and you'll say, well, it runs lightning fast, and sometimes you'll say, well, why did it take 10 seconds? Well, it all comes down to whether the symbol was loaded yet.
Right.
Right. Now, you'll notice that when I type a lot of these commands in the debugger, I've been using the at sign. So the at sign, when I do at RIP, is saying at means use the register. It's a special word, a notation that says don't look for a local variable called RIP.
Right.
Right. And so it's going to be a fast resolution. But if I don't put the at on the front, it's fast at the moment because of how this is compiled, but it would look for a local variable called RIP,
right.
And then it would look for a global called RIP, and because there's no bang on the front, it would look for it in every module as well.
Right.
And so if you have an expression like dollar sign or get expression, if you did this, you would cause a symbol load of every module across the whole code base. And that can take a long time.
Yeah.
But once it's loaded, the second time is going to be lightning fast.
Well, you've probably got them all cached. And
well, actually, what the course here is, I've only got public symbols. So it knows, well, there can be no globals.
Oh, right.
Because I'm debugging Notepad. But if I debug the program I wrote myself,
then it's got to find the symbols.
Then it's got to find the symbols. If you look at LM, well, actually, nothing's even loaded yet. So it knows. I'm so used to having PDE loaded. You can see they've all got. Well, this private's for OLA. So it would have searched those two.
Mm.
But it's just a resolution thing. So, yeah, if I ask for what is foo,
Now you get to see
it. RIP is one of those ones which I think it falls back a bit faster, but.
Might special case that one.
Yeah. But you'll see how slow it is, right? And so when you're doing expression evaluation and you might have some timings around it, don't blame the expression itself. Also, don't blame, you know, you've got to appreciate that once off, you've got to have a symbol load. Mm-hmm. If you can resolve the names in a way that's cleaner, do it. Now, obviously, when it comes from the command line, you haven't got as much control.
Right.
But this is how you resolve things like trying to find globals within a debugger extension. So you might have a global that is pointed to some log file or something inside mm-hmm. your process. If you open this thing saying, bang, show me the log, and then you resolve the global, like g_log, and then it may take ages. But if you change it to foo bang g_log, it would only record that symbol for the PDB for foo to be validated, and then it would be much faster. Put @ on anything to do with a register, and fully qualify with module names, anything that is, and there is an annotation, I can't remember what it is, it's like dot or something, saying only take it from local variables. There is an annotation for that.
I didn't know that.
All right, so the other thing which I'm not gonna delve into, because I don't think it's overly important to delve into today, but is how the expression is evaluated. Mm-hmm. There is the MASM expression and the CPP one. So this is MASM, this is, a single one is, MASM is the Microsoft Assembler resolution, and double is the C++. So you can do size of, I might not work because I haven't any symbols, but you can do size of commands and stuff like that, where you can't do that with the MASM one. It defaults to the MASM expression engine.
It did work.
I did, it just took a while. But if I did that with the MASM one, it shouldn't work because it doesn't know what the word size of is. So be aware of what expression engine you are using. You you can't resolve it. So that was the MASM one. The first one was C++. You can toggle that in your code. So if you know that you do need a C++ centric, particularly if you're trying to resolve things like obscure annotation through classes and stuff, you'll need to change the expression engine. And you can look online, and I'll add a link to the show notes about that.
There's some stuff in the debugger help about doing this too.
Yeah, definitely. Well, actually, everything, that's a good point actually. That's a really good point to make. Everything that's online actually is in the CHM file. Mm-hmm. So, I keep on flying across to MSDN for this stuff, but all the extensions, the text that's on MSDN is actually the same text. Mm. We actually compile these XML files into the CHM file and into the MSDN pages. So there's actually a one-to-one relationship between the two.
Okay.
This is actually the same content. So particularly when you're offline, you're coding on a plane.
There you go.
Maybe I've been guilty of doing that in the past. Australia's 14 hours away, so you get some good coding time in.
Long plane ride, not many distractions.
Yeah, all the help's here. For example, we've been using iDebug client, iDebug control, control output, and you can see there's a whole lot of variants of that.
Mm-hmm.
Mask and format. Mask is ones we've been talking about before. And here's all the things, and here's a particular percentage P that. It knows it's a pointer in the address space.
Mm-hmm.
We're actually going to talk about all these MA, MU, MSA, MSUs, Y, and all these other ones later when it comes to DML, because they facilitate reading pointers. Particularly, if you have a string in the address space, there's no need to go and read it, put it in a local variable just to put it into a printf. There's actually annotations that say, just go print me the string that's in the address space at this address. And the debugger will actually go read it out of the address space for you. You can optimize some of your process flow.
Right.
Kind of get to the topic. expressions, be aware of symbol load, qualify them as you need. And if it's really needed, which is really rare, I've never needed it myself, change to the C++ expression engine from the MASM one.
Right.
And that's it for this week.
Great. Okay, well, we'll be back next week with episode 100. We're hoping to do something special for that.
Yep.
So stay tuned for that. In the meantime, if you have questions, comments, put them in the show notes or email us at defragtools@microsoft.com. And that's our show. Thanks for watching.
See you next week.
Bye.